3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned.
There is a place where time stands still, where nature is harsh and demanding, where only the quick and the strong and the deadly can survive. This place is no place for civilized man.
I want my life.
Kick it in the guts, Barry.
All you've got to do now is pass the Australian culture test. Three simple questions, three correct answers, and you go through that doorway to the greatest little country in the world.
Good morning, everybody. This is Annie for Showreel on your community radio station, 3CR. And of course, when we are talking Australian film industry, we're also talking about the experiences of people as audience members over various festivals and stuff like that. So I was given a nod towards the National Theatre on Film, and they wanted me to mention to anybody who's interested in this sort of stuff that you can actually stream their service. So the National Theatre at Home offers new discounts, so it's offering you a discount of 50% off for the first 2 months if you want to be involved in watching fantastic meteoric stars playing some of the classic theatre titles, but also new and fascinating stuff. They're doing Coriolanus, which is hardly a... In fact, I think there was a recent local production of Coriolanus, which is not a Shakespearean play that's often made. So quite interesting. But there's other ones, things like Death of England, which you may or may not know about, and a whole range of others that you might want to have a look up to check it out to see if you're interested in that sort of thing. It's sort of a cheap way of seeing movies, but pretty interesting ones at that. But that's not the meat and potatoes of the program today. We are focusing on an Australian film. We're going to focus on Kangaroo. How more Australian can that be? Person who is the director, I got a chance to talk to her because she was in town for the Melbourne International Film Festival, where they were showing a remastered version of her groundbreaking first feature, which was Looking for Ella Brandy. And of course, I'm talking about Katie Woods, and I'll let her explain what the film Kangaroo is all about, but also how she got to be involved, because interestingly enough, it is a film that marks the beginning of Studio Canal as Studios' involvement in production, because it's a distribution company. You quite often see it at the beginning of a film, a feature. They're a big French outfit, Studio Canal, and they've decided that they're going to go into production. And this was their baby, and they actually tapped her on the shoulders and asked her to come and be the director. So anyway, this is Katie Woods talking about the experience of making Kangaroo, and which is coming out in September in cinemas. Thanks very much for spending some time with me.
Thanks for having me.
It's quite interesting seeing such a fabulous rendition of the Northern Territory in Kangaroo. The film itself is a little bit inspires a sort of a sense of brand new day about it. Is that what you're after?
Well, I was sort of after trying to show that area and those people and the kangaroos in a more authentic way than sometimes you see the outback and kangaroos, and anything that compares it to Brand New Day is just fine. My Fine by Me. I love that film. It was made by Robin Kershaw, who made my film Looking for Brandy. So, yeah, that, and what I loved about Brand New Day, of course, was its authenticity. And we just wanted to get the same kind of feel. So it's an authentic experience when you see the film, particularly for overseas audiences.
And it's a grand vista too, like the way it's been handled, the shots of the country, and then it comes very intimate to the community.
That was exactly what we wanted. We wanted to show that it is a grand space and very beautiful and ancient, but it is a community, and the, you know, when you get down to the detail of it, the closeness of it, it's a thriving place. And I particularly, the most important thing to me was to show that sense of community. That's to me what the film's all about, finding your home, finding a place to come home to. And that wonderful cast that created that atmosphere was terrific. But that's why we wanted to shoot it quite close. And I don't think you get to see animals as characters like this so much. Characters like this very much. You know, you either see them at a distance or they're, you know, changed in some way to be a little bit more human, you know, to sort of, but we didn't want to do that.
It's interesting because I lived in the bush for a while, because I know exactly about, you know, 6 or 7 years, so I know what you're talking about, seeing animals up close. And in fact, I remember once being lost, walking in the dark with kangaroos running parallel to me. Wow. And so they're about the same size as humans. So it's really, as the girl was saying, that they're part of our mob.
Absolutely. You know, the other great thing, we had Brindle, Bunya and Brindle, the producers, are both, you know, they make the premier Indigenous films in this country, and they opened so many doors for us, and the traditional owners and elders of the environment were incredibly generous about where we could shoot and what we could see, and we just wanted to, you know, represent that. And the fact that they are, this is something that we all could learn. They are with nature. They are with the animals. They are, feel like one, and that we are symbiotic. And we hoped that that was part of the film as well.
Getting back to your career, I mean, this is your second feature. You did a fantastic first feature, Looking for Ella Brandy. You went off to America and you've done had a glorious career, but mainly on the small screen and miniseries and stuff like that. This is your second feature. Tell me about how that feels.
I feel so privileged to make a film, because you've often got things in the running, and you know that it's very difficult to get a film for everybody all over the world. So this was a project that was brought to me by Studio Canal, sort of already sort of developed, and to me it was just such a privilege, and what a beautiful thing to come back to, that it was something that was so fundamental to what it means to be Australian, and it was like a homecoming. And the main one thing that was really important to me was, I think we often see, we don't often see the outback as a welcoming, thriving place, and we certainly don't see kangaroos up close. I wanted them to show them how they authentically live in that space, and wow, what an opportunity! I got straight on the plane as soon as they asked.
Well, that's quite amazing, isn't it? So, who did the development?
The idea came from Studio Canal and in Australia, and they're mainly distributors, but they wanted to do some production. And of course, they've done lots of animal films. You know, they make Paddington.
Successfully, too.
Yeah, and very successfully. And a guy called Greg Denning had this idea that, who's part of that Studio Canal, to get the rights to a book called Kangaroo Dundee, which is about this kangaroo sanctuary in Alice Springs, because they'd done documentaries in Europe and incredibly successful, particularly his, you know, he was nurturing, you know, a big red male who had 8 million followers, Roger, and he had, you know, millions of followers, much loved. So they wanted to make this story. It's not his story. We've made up a completely different story, but it's his heart. And it was all Studio Canal Australia, and it's the first time they've ever made a film here, and I was very excited to join it, and it was brought to me by them, and I couldn't say no.
Well, yeah, and also they've done really well at collaborating with, as you said, Bunya Films and Brindle
yes.
Films. Also, so that leads us into the reason why I turned over the page. Fantastic actors,
yeah.
And they're not just fantastic actors, they're perfectly placed. Like you've got people like, there's the main ones, of course, you know, there's
Ryan Corr
and Brooke Satchwell,
okay.
But
yeah.
And you've got Deborah Mailman and this wonderful young girl called Rachel House. But Ron, the backups, you know, people like Roy Billings playing the erudite chap who sucks on cocktails and teaches the children on the side.
Yeah. Well, I can't tell you how delighted I was with it, because we have the creme de la creme of Indigenous actors in this, and they are so good and so perfect. And I'm honestly say it had nothing to do with me. I had the privilege of turning the camera on and watching them do their thing. They were all perfect. They were all delightful. Very, very funny. Great sense of humour. Tricia Morton-Thomas, who plays Gwenny, is also a producer in the film. She's part of Brindle. So it was great. I'd worked with Ernie Dingo many, many years ago. And Wayne Blair. Clarence Ryan, whose interpretation of a policeman just... I actually had to be taken off the set because I was laughing so much. They were all just brilliant. We were so lucky. And they are the ones that create that community on the screen. And Little and Ryan Corr was just... He's got such a depth to him. I mean, he was playing somebody that was a little bit of a, you know, dropkick.
Well, a buffhead.
A buffhead, there you go, a buffhead, absolutely. And he just gave that character such depth and nuance. Plus, he's a brilliant physical comedian. Most of the time with that big kangaroo, which is CGI, he was playing with thin air. So I was just, every day was a privilege. And, of course, finally, little Lily Whiteley had never acted before in her life. And, you know, but we just, you know, she was so appealing and so beautiful and had such a, you know, depth to her. We were so excited to cast her, and I think she did a beautiful job for a non-actor.
Oh, she did. Yeah, no, she did it. She did a beautiful job. And some of these backup characters, the female backup characters, Genevieve Lemon, but also the Maori woman that we...
Well, Rachel House is quite a well-known actor.
I know.
Yeah. She is the queen of comedy, and, you know, that sort of dry... a dry sense of humour. Her sense of timing is unbelievable. It was just such a coup for us to get her, and, you know, like, we all wanted her to do it. You could just see, we just knew what she would do with that part. She's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. So there was a determination to have a very strong backup cast with a very tight leads.
Yeah. It was, you know, mainly to... I mean, just get the best people that we could, and we did. But the wonderful thing was everybody rallied around little Lily, and also all the little kids that make up her gang all came from Alice Springs, all never acted before, and they were fabulous. I'm most excited about the screening in Alice Springs because I can't wait for those kids to see themselves on a screen the sides of their living room wall. But the experienced actors, particularly Ryan and Deb, who, you know, really looked after little Lily, but everybody rallied around those kids and, you know, made them feel confident. And that's what makes their performance so genuine and natural, because they felt really comfortable.
Public transport's great.
What's not great is that unless you've got a radio with you, you can't listen to 3CR when you're on it.
Until now. The Community Radio Plus app lets you listen to us wherever you are.
Get on board and search Community Radio Plus wherever you get your apps.
Time's on my mind when I had to find my side. Am I thinking loud?
You're with Annie on Showreel, and we're focusing on Australian film on 3CR, your community radio station, and we're in the middle of a chat I had with Katie Woods, who's the director of a new film called Kangaroo. It's the first major a production from Studio Canal Australia, and it's being released in theatres in September. It's a classic potential hit, actually, an all-round good laugh, a friendly family kind of film, actually, to tell you the truth, and surprisingly good. And, of course, Katie Woods is a person we all know from her original hit film, Looking for Alibrandi. This is a completely different kettle of fish, except, as she says, it is full of heart. This is the second part of the conversation I had with Katie Woods. Tell me, how long was the shoot?
The shoot was about 8 weeks, mostly in Alice Springs and then a little bit in Sydney, you know, just the beach stuff. But yeah, it was all pretty much on location, and the little town was completely made up by Sam Hobbs, our brilliant production designer, who changed sort of derelict buildings into this little town. And I do love the fact that it's sort of within nature rather than beside it. So yeah, it was all of it was made there. We built the shed there too.
What was your challenges as a director? Because, I mean, the previous big film that you made was very urban, really. I mean, there's elements of it that's got sort of external landscapes. Yeah. But this is all about external landscapes, really.
Well, the external landscape is, you know, it wasn't too hot, but sort of dusty and sort of, you know, in sometimes places that weren't, you know, like a little bit difficult to walk around on, and it was a lot of flies. It was fly season, so we had to wear masks and stuff. We had to be very careful with the actors because they were inclined to fly down their throat. But I think the main challenge was to take care of the animals. That the Chris Broger, he's called Broger Barnes, who provided the little Joeys and told us how to take care of them and everything, because they're traumatized animals. They've lost their mum. Was to make sure that they were looked after, and also you can't train them. we had to sort of rely on, you know, sort of setting up as natural situations as possible. It was always often a milk bottle just outside of frame to get them to be interested. Ryan was amazing with those little Joeys, and so was Lily. So I think, and also, you know, and good editing. I have a fabulous editing team that made sure they all looked like it was all happening naturally. We're a whole bunch of shots usually. So I think that was the biggest one. And you know, for me, it wasn't so much about the territory, but it's with a dramedy or dramedy, whatever you want to call it, getting the tone right is really important, because I didn't want it to be caricature. I wanted real people. And I wanted you to be able to laugh and have a good time. But it also has, the heart of it is the most important. To get that right and make sure that one balanced the other, I think was the thing I put was the biggest challenge for me.
Yeah, and actually it works. I was wondering if it was going to be like a caricature, but I can say as a viewer, I found it really amusing and it works.
Oh, that means the world. Thank you very much, especially somebody as discerning as you.
So where does it go now? Like, the kids haven't seen it yet?
No, on Sunday we have the cast and crew screening. We have the premiere in Sydney, and then we have, a week later, we have a special screening in Alice Springs. And then it opens in, I think it's the 17th of September. So we're just doing all the trying to get the word out part now.
Yeah. And Canel will be taking it off.
Oh, yeah. It's opening in London and France in early next year, and in other parts of Europe. It's actually opening in Germany first, can you believe it? It's opening in Germany in mid-August, and that will be really interesting to see how it goes. I'm not sure why they chose that, but this is Studio Canal's specialty. You know, they're great distributors, so I think maybe they wanted to test an international audience first, but I can't wait to hear what the Germans think.
Yeah, really fascinating. And the other thing is, when they do that, I know that English is Europeans are a pretty sophisticated lot. Do they handle it with subtitles, or what do they do?
I'm actually not sure. I'm actually really keen to ask them. I feel like, and I'm just talking from my thoughts, is that because it's a young film for young people, it's probably better to dub it into that particular language. But I'm not sure what Studio Canal has in mind, and I'm sure they would have tested it and worked it out, and we'll do the best thing. It is a French company, after all, that is making the film, so, you know...
Unashamedly got Australian accents. Which is fantastic, right? Yes. I mean, I know that sounds like a funny thing to say because it's set right in the middle of the Northern Territory and it's completely comfortably Australian. And also, fantastic, like you said, the humour of it is actually First Nations. It's very funny.
Yeah.
On a whole lot of level. They take the piss, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They run rings around him.
yeah, that's exactly right. And one of the key messages, obviously, in the writing, I mean, really, we should talk about the writer too, because obviously they've done a lot of work. And the key message, of course, is, you know, you guys always want to be up front and be the big star, but in actual fact, we just want to belong. We just want to belong.
Yeah.
This is the key message.
Yeah, it is. It is a key message. And Harry Cripps wrote the script, and it, you know, really is his story. The whole dolphin thing actually happened to Harry. it's true.
That's awful.
I know, it's terrible. We did work very hard on, you know, you always do work very hard with the writer to make sure everything that they wanted in their hearts on the screen. But I was very lucky to have Melina Marchetta come in and do some work, particularly in terms of the female characters, Little Lily and the mum. Melina's work, there's such a huge heart. She put all that into it. And it's actually her line about we just want to belong, because I think she understood what it's like being, you know, an outsider. So even though it's mostly Harry that did everything, and he's a fabulous writer and he's so funny. He's like a machine. You go, I need a bit here, you know, and he just come up with jokes. What about this? What about that? And he wrote that beautiful story. But I think between the two of them, we got the humour and the heart, because to me, that's my entrance into anything I do, is where's the heart? Yeah, so it's got a great message. I also love the one, because it was social media that brought him down and social media that brought him back up again, that, you know, when Brooke Satchel's character says to him, you've got 200,000 people there wanting to see you on air, and he says, yeah, but these are the ones that count.
And you pick a good time to grow up, she says.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, you've got to find time to grow up. Yeah, I love that too. Yeah.
So there's a whole lot of dancing going on in terms of social mores, gender politics, and First Nations and European conventions.
Yes. I mean, the First Nations kind of, the way the First Nations people are in the film was really important to me, because it's, you know, it's a joyful film, and often it's not for that community. And I just wanted to show a place where everybody is the same. Doesn't matter what nationality they are, doesn't matter what colour they are. It's not a thing. It's not part of the DNA of that town. They are just all together. And it might be a bit of a fantasy. It mightn't, you know.
Well, of course.
Yes, but...
It's a film.
But, you know, maybe this is what it could be like. Mm. That's really, really, really important. And I love that we were able to do that. Plus, there was so many... Every nationality you could think of was in Alice Springs, and we tried to get that in the background and the little kids and all that as well.
Yeah. And the policemen.
Yeah, and the policemen.
Yeah. And also Wayne Blair and some of the other Indigenous people, they're actually heavyweights in the industry.
Absolutely. Wayne Blair, Deb Mailman, Ernie Dingo, Tricia Morton Thomas, they are... I mean, they're the creme de la creme. I was so honoured to work with them. And as I said, it was all them. They all did it. They'd all got such great sense of humour. Well, as I said before, Clarence Ryan, who played the policeman, he's often played a very harsh character, you know, like, not a very gentle character, put it
aggressive.
That way. Aggressive, thank you. And so that sort of very... Fey, gentle character that he came up with the police, but I just adored him for that. But that's what they bring. They bring this enormous imagination that, but also this love and this heart that wraps everybody together. So it's just brilliant.
Okay, thanks very much for talking to me, Katie Woods.
My absolute pleasure. It was delightful. Thank you. It's so great to somebody that's actually watched and thought about the film. It's really, yeah.
Yeah,
really
no, good. It was enjoyable.
Yeah, I hope that people enjoy it, but also kind of get a strong feeling of the heart of it.
Oh, and the country is so beautiful.
Beautiful, yeah, and it's so, like being in that country, it's so ancient. You feel kind of tiny, and that's the other thing. We are such a small part of it, but I hope, you know what? I hope it makes people proud to be Australian. Mm. That's what I felt when I was doing it, and that's what I hope we get out of it.
Yeah, and also the care for the animals, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yes, the healing nature of animals is really important, and we've got to look after them. Yeah, great. Thank you.
And that's it. That was the conversation I had with Katie Woods about the film Kangaroo, which is coming out in September. It's quite a delightful film, really, and it is worth having a look at, I'll have to say. Coming up next is Published or Not, and the songs I've been playing over the last few weeks coming into the program and going out have been highlighting this fantastic singer, Alice Skye. I thought I'd go out with her song called Melbourne. Let's see what she thinks of Melbourne. Talk to you next week.
Something promising about that morning air, 'cause it hasn't let you down yet. It's easy to forget which words you
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.